Okay. And this, what we're going to do now is I'm going to give a much, much shorter talk, so we're not going to have another epic, but just 10 or 15 minutes or so. And then we're going to spend some time praying, and then we'll be finished for tonight. So if you can turn, please, to John chapter 1. And let's just pray as we look at this. Father, thank you for all you've said about your word. All that's true of it, Father, these are the things that you would say to us now by your Spirit. And these are words by which you would change us and achieve things in us. And we pray, therefore, Lord, for receptive hearts, that we would receive it rightly. And that you would show us the kind of leaders that you wish us to be. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Okay, and the Bible's got lots to say about leadership, as you know, and there's lots of different passages we could look at, not least in 2 Timothy. But I just thought I would share something that struck me a few years ago. I shared this before in different contexts to this. Just a one example of a leader in the Bible, and something we can learn from him. And the man is John the Baptist, and we're looking at chapter 1 of John, verse 19. This is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they'd been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you're neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God." And then turn over to chapter 3 and verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salem, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification, and they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he was who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness. Look, he's baptizing, and all are going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it's given him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I said, 'I'm not the Christ, I've been sent before him.' The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease." And then it goes on. Now, just two things to notice about John. Firstly, John points to the Christ. John is introduced to us as a witness. The whole of John's gospel, you may know, is about testimony, so that we who are reading it would know that Jesus is the Christ. And here's the first witness, the witness box. And he says repeatedly, "This man is the Christ." In fact, he tells us all kinds of things about Jesus. He tells us that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Maybe an allusion to the Passover lamb, or maybe a reference to one of the other sacrificial animals of the Levitical system. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. A bit later on he tells us that Jesus is, this does your head in if you're kind of trying to put it on the timeline, the one who ranks before me because he came before me even though he was born after me. And that kind of does your head in. Jesus, the eternal one, the one who's always been, even though he's only just got born. He says that Jesus is the Son of God, verse 34. He says, Jesus, the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit in comparison with only water, etc. John the Baptist bears witness to the Christ. And that, of course, is the job of every Christian. It's our job as we go into the world with the word of God, which is the word about his King. And John the Baptist does that. We should do that as well. But that's not the thing that kind of got me between the eyes when I was reading this a few years ago. It's not just that John the Baptist points to the Christ, but John the Baptist points away from himself and to the Christ. John the Baptist is very interested in making people realize how fantastic Jesus is, and therefore is very uninterested in showing people how fantastic John the Baptist is. And I think when you look closely, there's just quite a lot of features of the way that John the Apostle is writing this that underline John the Baptist's kind of self-effacing witness. Just look at how it begins. This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and didn't deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." Now that is a kind of weird answer, isn't it? Imagine that we're in a group of people, we don't know each other, we don't have name badges on, and we're going around and we're saying, "Hi, I don't think I've met you before. Hi, my name's Andrew, who are you?" And they say, "I'm not William Taylor." Okay. Okay. Fair enough. And then you kind of wait, and there's obviously not volunteering any more information, so you do what they do. They say, "Well, are you Charlie Screen?" I say, "No." "Are you James Weaver?" "No." It's like, well, what is this game, you know? And you can imagine their name badge, you know, "I am not William Taylor." That's what they say. "Well, who are you then?" So it's quite weird, isn't it, to be asked who you are and to answer by saying who you're not. And it's quite emphatic in verse 20. He confessed and didn't deny and confessed. You see, it's kind of three times. He said this, he didn't deny it, he said it, "I am not the Christ." "Who are you then? Are you Elijah?" "No." "Are you the prophet?" "No." They get a little bit exasperated at this point. "Come on, tell us who you are. We've been sent from the Pharisees in Jerusalem to find out who you are. Who are you? We've got to give an answer." And he says, "I'm a voice." That's all he says about himself. I'm the unnamed person in Isaiah whose job it is to tell you about someone that, please can I get on now to telling you about Jesus. I'd much rather talk about him. Make way, make straight the way of the Lord. But you know, they're not so easily put off as that, because John the Baptist, you may know, had a sensationally famous ministry as a Baptist. So if you look at the Jewish historian Josephus, John the Baptist is quite a lot more famous than Jesus in terms of, you know, Jewish history of the time. He was a massive figure, and you know, everybody knew about him. The massive crowds went out to him as he was baptizing. There's pages and pages about him. Because of his ministry of baptism, of kind of repentance and trying to hasten on the kingdom of God and get rid of the Romans, etc., etc. And so they focus in on this. "Now, you won't tell us who you are. What about what you do?" So they say, "Look, well, why are you baptizing? If you're no one special, why are you baptizing?" Verse 25, "If you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet." And then John gives this very strange phrase. It comes three times. "I baptize with water." And then he says it in verse 31. "The reason I came baptizing with water." Verse 33. "The one who sent me to baptize with water." And that's a very odd phrase, isn't it? Because that's what baptism is. You know, we don't say at St. Helens, "You come along on Sunday, we're going to have a baptism with water. So-and-so, we're going to baptise so-and-so with water this Sunday." You just say we're going to baptise them, because everyone's assuming that that's what we put in the baptistry, or hoping that we did. as we forgot to turn on the taps. But John says it almost as a, you notice, there's another way of saying it's not that important what I'm doing. I baptise with water. Now, can I please tell you about the one who baptises with the Holy Spirit? That's the one I'm here to tell you about. Yes, it's true that I got a few people damp. But anyway, let's talk about Jesus, please. Please, can we talk about Jesus now? He says. And you get the same thing in chapter 3. People say to him, John, aren't you a bit annoyed that this other baptizer, this guy called Jesus, is getting more disciples than you? He says, no, I'm not upset. Because he's the bridegroom. I'm just the mate of the bridegroom. I'm very excited that he's here. And then the little phrase in verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now the thing is about John the Baptist pointing away from himself to the Christ, is it's kind of obviously the right thing to do, isn't it? I mean, if you were around at the same time as the Son of God walking the streets of Palestine, it's fairly obvious that you need to step out of the limelight. You're not going to be there at the wedding at Cana and saying, oh, hi everyone, hi, and kind of trying to jump into the camera shot, you know, like people do on the telly. It would just be inappropriate to try and steal the stage from the Saviour of the world. It would be crazy. And John the Baptist realises who Jesus is, and so it's just common sense that he should step aside and point to him. And there's nothing more embarrassing, is there, that someone who thinks that they're more important than that they are. It's like that thing where someone, you know, waves at you and you wave back and then look over your shoulder and there's someone else there and you feel like you want the ground to swallow you up. But just imagine how humiliating it could be. There you are in the National Gallery and you're going around the pictures and people are looking at all these Monets and things. And then someone kind of reaches into their bag and starts unravelling this piece of A3 paper on which they've drawn their entry for the RML photo competition. And they go, yeah, but I've done one myself, actually. Anyone wants to see, you know? And then it's just like embarrassing. Get that guy out of here. Or imagine you're at the O2 Arena and you're going to try and find the autograph of some kind of famous star that you love. And then your mate starts taking out his pen and offering people, say, oh, I don't know where he is. I'll give you my autograph if you want it. Put it away. It'd just be weird and embarrassing. Everybody knows that your mate's not the star at the O2 Arena. And everybody knows that Monet's a better painting than you are at the National Gallery. And everybody knows that Jesus is more important than the Baptists in Palestine. And fortunately, John realises that. And so he doesn't just say, here's the Christ. He points away from himself to the Christ. He says, chapter 3, he must increase, I must decrease. I remember someone saying to me at my old church that it is impossible to give the impression that Jesus is important and that I am important in the same paragraph. And yet, so we kind of want that, don't we? We want to kind of say, let me tell you about Jesus, but let me tell you what a fantastic Christian I am as a follower of Jesus. Let me teach you his word, but let me show you what a fantastic teacher of his word I am as I teach you his word. You know, let me show you Jesus and steal the limelight for myself. So that at the end of my Bible study, I'm kind of hoping that you're at least as grateful for me as your leader as you are for him as the saviour that the study was about. You ever caught yourself doing that? And John the Baptist has a lesson for us. If you want to point to Jesus, you've got to point away from yourself. Just want to finish by reading a little excerpt from a book about Mr. D.L. Moody, who was a kind of Billy Graham of his day. He was a very famous evangelist in Chicago about 100 years ago. This is what this book says. One day, speaking to me of a great New York preacher, now dead, Mr. Moody said, he once did a very foolish thing. The most foolish thing I ever knew a man ordinarily so wise as he was to do. He came up to me at the close of a little talk I'd given and said, young man, you have preached a great address tonight. Then Mr. Moody continued, how foolish of him to have said that. He nearly turned my head. And then the writer goes on, oh, men and women, especially young men and young women, perhaps God is beginning to use you. Very likely people are saying, what a wonderful gift he or she has as a Bible teacher. What power he has as a preacher for such a young man. Listen, get down on your face before God. I believe here lies one of the most dangerous snares of the devil. When the devil cannot discourage a man, he approaches him on another tack, which he knows is far worse in its results. He puffs him up by whispering in his ear, you are the leading evangelist of the day. You are the man who will sweep everything before you. You are the coming man. You are the D.L. Moody of the day. And if you listen to him, he will ruin you. The entire shore of the history of the Christian church is strewn with wrecks of gallant vessels that were full of promise a few years ago. But those men became puffed up and were driven on the rocks by the wild winds of their own raging self-esteem. John the Baptist says, I'm a voice. Let me tell you about the one that this voice prepares you for. They say, what about your baptism? He says, oh yes, I baptized with water. Let me tell you about the baptism that that's pointing to. They say, who are you? He says, please can we stop talking about me? I want to tell you about Jesus. He must increase and I must decrease. I just was very, very struck by that a few years ago when I first saw it. And I want to share it with you because just at the point when maybe new opportunities of service are opening up for us, and maybe positions that people will look up to, and maybe things to which people say, thank you very much, you've helped me so much. Let's get clear in our heads that the true witness to Jesus points away from themselves. Won't share the limelight. It will be as inappropriate as sharing your painting at the National Gallery or your autograph at the A2. He must increase, I must decrease. I'm going to pray, and then what we're going to do then is to around our tables we're going to pray, and we're going to pray that God would use us in spreading his word in whatever capacity that will be. Maybe some of it will be leading RML or Sunday school or one-to-ones or being an active member of a group as we are at the moment. But let's pray that as we do that, we do that with diligence in studying the Bible and with the desire for Jesus' honour rather than our own. And we'll just spend about 15-20 minutes in prayer and then we'll wrap up. But let me just pray as we begin. Father God, thank you for John the Baptist. Thank you for his testimony about Jesus and all the things he tells us about your son. But Father, thank you as well for how he recognized that when Jesus turned up, it was time for him to step down from the limelight. Thank you, Father, that he was glad to decrease if Jesus would only increase. And we pray for ourselves, Father, for the same humility and the same disowning of personal glory in order that we would be effective servants of your Son. For Jesus' sake, Amen.